This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. I'm here with Walter. He's got to use the landline because he didn't pay his DSL bill again. Walter, are you here with us, sir?
I'm here, my man.
Outstanding. Well, you got to pay your cable bill, sir, so you can Skype in and not use your telephone landline with the rotary phone.
Like I said once before, I gotta get new hamsters in the wheel.
That's in the wheel, not in the cardboard tube, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, Walter, breaking news. First off, I'm hosting with you once again. My work schedule changed over at the my new employer's place of business. I'll give you a hint where I work. The place is known by three letters in. Two of them are the letter M as in Mary. But anyways, other breaking news. Walter, you got in a Twitter war with somebody over a iconic figure. You want to take it away?
Yeah, it's funny. And I talked about this iconic figure a couple of months ago in one of our first shows. This iconic figure happens to be none other than George O'Dowd, better known as Boy George. And it was quite humorous. He tweeted out something about Susan Sarandon not doing the right thing when she met the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth. Something about not a curtsy or she bowed or something or other. I don't know. And George commented on it, and I tweeted out. I said something to the effect that, well, I guess it takes one queen to know what another queen is thinking. And this lady who has been following me on Twitter for a long time got very huffy with me last night and said that I was being rude and needed to stop following her and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out when I looked at her homepage on Twitter, it says, you know, she's a big Boy George fan and also Sean Astin. And, you know, if nobody remembers who Sean Astin is, he is the offspring of Patty Duke and John Astin Gomez from the Addams Family. Anyway, so I tweeted her back, and I said I wasn't being rude, you know, that I was being truthful. It's not like Boy George kept it a secret like George Michael did. And that since she was being rude, considered herself unfollowed. And then I went on to say, oh, yeah, by the way, Sean Astin is short. So that kind of ended that conversation. You know, it's just funny how people just get so, how can you say, so thin-skinned on something that nobody can say anything. Nobody can fart downwind from anybody anymore and just, you know, grin and bear it. But it's just ridiculous. It was just stupid. So, you know, adios, Twitter follower, whoever you were. You obviously followed me because I was in the 7-5. So whatever.
She probably followed you because you're on this awesome radio show, 7-5 Radio. But my thing is, doesn't that lady, you know, other than watching the 7-5 or, you know that you're on this radio show and you've, said some other, you know, very mean and offensive and very funny things. I mean, when the lady just you know, crawl from under a rock and then first, you know, decides to try Twitter and sees your name and then, you know, goes back under the rock.
My name, you know, is coming through the ranks, I guess, at this point in my life. I'm not doing a Jimmy Kimmel attack on anybody. He just says, you know, stupid stuff that is just untrue to get laughs from an audience who paid about $50 a freaking ticket. I say the truth. You know, boy George never denied that he was a queen. I mean, listen, look, he is who he is what he is, and that's fine. You know, I find myself when I hear Karma Chameleon singing background on it, you know, on the radio. You know, now I'm not a big fan, but it was a catchy tune. You know, I was more into Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd back in the day. But I was also married, so, you know, we don't have a choice but to listen to some pop culture music also when you're married. So 35 years ago when this guy came out, and, you know, everybody looked on MTV and said, oh, my God, what the hell is that? And I don't think there's anybody familiar with the pop culture that doesn't find themselves singing along with Karma Chameleon. Anyway, but it's just odd that people just take offense to some of the stupidest stuff that you've ever... whatever, lady. Yeah, have fun with your life. You know, I'm not here to please you or step on eggshells or try not to crack any eggs. Hey, on your way, lady.
Right.
See ya.
Right.
We'll get a job and pick up crap all day long.
Go back to your crap job and pick up crap. But I just want to let the record show that I never sung background or the chorus to Karma Chameleon. But anyways, let's move on to the 21st century. I mean, good grief. I mean, let's live in the here and now. Walter, do you like to go out to eat?
Yes, I do like to go out to eat. I do very much.
Well, you know who else likes to go out to eat is none other than the current press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It turns out it's last weekend or 2 weeks ago, she decided to go down to Lexington, Virginia, which is out in the middle of the sticks, to go to this very hoity-toity, posh, you know, five-star restaurant. And so her dinner party sat down, and the owner realized who she was and told her to go beat it. And so Secretary Sanders did a very... she was very classy. She never mentioned anything on Twitter or anything like that. None of these "Do you know who I am?" Deals, or you know, this place is gonna be shut down or blown up or something like that. She just went about her business until somebody else that works for the restaurant or the press that got wind of it and just made a BFD out of it. But well, what's your thoughts about businesses denying service to people because of their political beliefs or who they work for?
You know, you shouldn't be denying people service because of their beliefs, religious beliefs, political beliefs, musical beliefs. You know, you shouldn't. You reserve the right to refuse because this person has a bad history of being in your restaurant. And that's how I feel about it, you know. But, you know... Yeah. If somebody did that to Obama's press secretary, you know, we'd still be hearing about it today.
Right. All right. Well, we're coming to our first break. On the other side of this break, we'll talk, finish the Red Hen, and talk about the Supreme Court. This is 75 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back. Thank you, James Edwards, for telling people my business. But this is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. We're talking about the Red Hen restaurant. Should people have the choice to deny service to other customers?
It's a violation of your right. You know, it's a free country. You know, it's a free country to enter. It's a free country to exit. It's a free country to order. It's a free country. You know, it's a free country. Okay, now flip the coin. It's a free country for the restaurateur also. But do they have the right to refuse you because of your political beliefs? I mean, it's a violation of the First Amendment. Are we going back to, you know, are we going to have Democrat drinking fountains? And Republican drinking fountains. Now, nobody have drinking fountains anymore. We have bottled water these days. But okay, blue caps for the Democrats, white caps for the Republicans. It's ridiculous. We're going to have Democratic bathrooms and Republican bathrooms. You know, how far back do the liberals really want to take us? The payoff is ridiculous. You know, the backlash on that Red Hen, we'll get to that in a minute, but it's just so stupid. Go ahead, Scoop, because I'm getting annoyed.
It's a double-edged sword, because when the bakers in Colorado refused to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple, all hell broke loose. The mainstream media was out there morning, noon, and night, made these people worse than Hitler. But then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who just, you know, is more or less the presidential mouthpiece, sits down at a restaurant to order, and they get the boot. And the media says, oh, it's a great job of the restaurant. You know, they have the right to kick out people who they want. I mean, you can't win with these people. But, you know, my thing is that if you're in business to put food on your family's table, so if you don't want to bake a cake – if you don't want to bake a cake for a homosexual customer, you're going to lose business. If you don't want to serve the press secretary for the White House for the current administration, you're probably going to lose business. or you might gain business. But, you know, it's a risk that I'm not going to take because, you know, I'm in private business myself. But let's talk about the backlash, Walter. What's been the backlash for the Red Hen?
Well, the wife of the owner was in charge of some type of charity or something, and she's been asked to step down, which she did because they're not going to give her the right time of day anymore. I understand that there are people on the left that are supporting boycotting this Red Hen restaurant. Now, let's not confuse it. I know we talked about this earlier. There's another one. There's another Red Hen restaurant that has absolutely nothing to do with this Lexington, Virginia restaurant. So we don't want them to lose business because of these idiots.
Right.
Let's be clear on that. And,
right.
You know, but I don't see anybody standing out there with pickets like they did in Starbucks last month when they refused people coming in to use the restrooms and stuff. So, you know, like you said, it's a double-edged sword. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But if the libs are going to back up all these people from Starbucks that, you know, want to use the bathroom but don't want to buy anything, you know, they need to turn around and support Sarah Sanders. I mean, you know, they're digging their own grave. And that's a good thing for people on the right. That's a good thing because this November midterm elections that are coming up are going to open up the Democrats' eyes. And again, they're going to probably call us all deplorables. And you know, the citizens don't know what they want. We know better. You know, Nancy Pelosi's spewing out garbage at that podium. You're going to be calling the American people stupid. Because we don't know what we want. They can't make up their minds. The problem is that we've made up our minds. We know what we want. We had enough of 8 years of that nonsense, and we want to move on. And this Sarah Sanders thing is just another back... it's something that happened because Obama was president. Can I say that out loud? I think I already did. So, you know, they're so blinded by just wanting to say stupid stuff to be mean. And everybody knows how I feel about people being rude to other people. Expect it to come back. Expect teeth in your ass.
you forgot the car horn. But anyways, you're absolutely right. Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to the Red Hen restaurant to spend money and probably give the wait staff a big tip. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, you have two people that just want to use the bathroom. They're not buying anything. That's called, you know, you're wasting money on water and you know, paper towels and toilet paper if need be, and they're not buying anything. And the thing about
clean up behind them because they weren't the greatest people in the world, but yeah,
right. And the thing about the food service industry, they need a very fast, very high turnover rate, because especially that store in Philadelphia, you know, it's a very high rent district. It's not South Philadelphia or West Philadelphia. It's in downtown Philadelphia where the people go in and spend money. And you know, just like Baltimore, Philadelphia needs to keep downtown clean and downtown safe so people from outside of Philadelphia come in and drop some coin. Don't look for this Red Hen situation to go away anytime soon, because you know, liberals do what liberals want. They'll be saying that the owner of the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, can not serve anybody. But then again, say I open a restaurant called Scoops Shake Shack, and I don't want black people. I don't want liberals. Well, guess what? You know, somebody would be burning down my place. But unfortunately, some of the hasty Trump supporters, they're taking out on Yelp, and they think that the press secretary went to the D.C. location of the Red Hen, but they're two independent restaurants and putting horrible things on the D.C. restaurant, which has nothing to do with the Lexington, Virginia restaurant, and the Red Hen in Washington, D.C. was egged by people. But I kind of find that a little bit suspicious because most Trump supporters, we don't have the time to go buy eggs, drive to a restaurant somewhere and throw eggs at it. Number two, that's just not our MO. And number three, there's not a Trump supporter within 100 miles of downtown Washington, D.C. So I kind of find that suspicious, but I do believe people just go on Yelp and put horrendous things. If you do go on Yelp and look up Scoop Stanton, you'll see some of the horrendous things. I talk about different establishments, and because their experience, excuse me, that happened to me. You know, Sears Home Services, they're awful, and a whole bunch of other places. But look up Scoop Stanton on Yelp, and you'll have a good laugh. But I'm going to tell you right now, the language is not PG. It just, you know, I just let it all hang out, which is a good thing because, I mean, we have the right to express what we're saying. And nobody has come back to me and said that, Mr. Stanton, you're wrong on this, this, and this. You know, I use some call for choice words, but, you know, that's who I am. But, well, you're going to go to the Red Hen in Lexington anytime soon?
Well, you know, next time I head up that way, you and I, we're gonna have margaritas and drinks and stuff at the Red Hen, and I'm gonna wear a MAGA hat with a Sarah Sanders T-shirt, and
all right, sounds like a deal. Sounds like a plan.
Maybe we'll open up a restaurant across the street from the Red Hen and call it.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity. But our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789. Or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
You are listening to 7-5 Radio. This is Anthony and Walter Yerkew. I happen to be Walter Yerkew, and Scoop is the other guy. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your emails and twits and tweets and Twitters and stuff like that. We're getting more and more each week. If you can count two or three, you know, more and more compared to last week. But we're getting there, my man. I run into a few people here and there that follow me on Twitter because of the 7-5. And I tell them about the radio show. And some of them have tuned in and listened to some archive broadcasts. And they seem to enjoy the some of the seriousness, some of the comical stuff, and also speaking our minds and speaking the truth. This is not fake news radio. This is the real deal here with these two guys, me included. Mr. Scoop, yesterday, I just want to bring this in. Okay. Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that yesterday I finally got to a local pizza joint in Chattanooga. I've been trying to get there for months, and I'm just never there on time. They close at 8 o'clock. In New York, pizzerias don't close until like 10. But we're talking about the South down here. Anyway, this place... I finally got there. Actually, I got there a little late. It was 8:05. But I saw people inside, and people were coming out with boxes, with pizza boxes. So I went in. And although they were closed, they were shut down. They weren't cooking anymore. As soon as I walked into the place, it was like I was back in Bensonhurst, walking into the pizzeria on 86th Street. And, you know, it just brings you back. And I think I got transported in time 35 years. And as soon as the guy opened up his mouth, I knew he was from Brooklyn. And as soon as I opened up my mouth, he knew I was from Brooklyn. And we got to talking. And, well, he says, this is all I got. And I says, all right, I'll take it. And he hooked me up. He says, would you like that crispy? And I was like, oh, yeah, because, you know, you eat that other stuff, I'm not going to mention the franchises. It's like biting into a wet sponge. I got the pizza out, and I took a bite, and holy cow, I was in pizza heaven. These people have been down here for a number of years, and it's called the New York Pizza Department. It's in Hixson, Tennessee on Route 153, and these guys, it's my bucket list to go there with my lady friend and have dinner. I already told her about it, and I ate three slices of pizza. Now, these slices are real slices, Scoop. It's not like them little things that you get from somebody's franchises.
Right, the house or Mama John's or what's the other place? The gambling one, the Domino.
You know, I sent my lady friend a picture, and I put my hand next to the slice of pizza. Now, according to Adam Diaz, that he's got hands three times the size of his, I put my hand down next to this slice of pizza, and my hand was dwarfed by this slice of pizza. And let me tell you something. I'm going to enjoy today, because that pizza was on the money. And, of course, they're going to be 7-5 fans. We talked about that for a little while, and then I had to go. They were looking to get out of there, so it was I was looking to eat pizza, and I did. So thanks to Eric and his mom over there at New York Pizza Department in Hixson, Tennessee, just north of Chattanooga. Fantastic, fantastic place. And I'm going to promote this place, not because they're sponsors or anything, but the people down here need to know what pizza is.
Right.
Take it away, Scoop.
Yeah, well, that's one of my biggest disappointments living here in a major metropolitan area called Washington, D.C. The food here is just terrible. I mean, my wife thinks Olive Garden is a good Italian restaurant. The Olive Garden. And I try to tell her, I was like, listen, I've been in, working for the, as a member of New York's Finest, going to these joints in the ghetto, in the middle of the night, still open, still don't get robbed, and they serve delicious Italian food, and they do the right thing, wink, wink. But, I mean, the food here in D.C. is just awful. Unless you're going to pay top dollar, go to a Ruth's Chris, which is a franchise, or the Capitol Grill. I did find a place down the road from me called the Backyard Grill. It's in a town called Chantilly. It's a little bit of a drive for me, but it's a local neighborhood restaurant, and it's a great bar, great people. But also, would you believe, of all the Asian people that live here in the metropolitan D.C. area, there's only one good Chinese restaurant I can go to. Everything else down here just tastes like crap. But anyway, speaking of small independent business owners, yours truly, Scoop Stanton, is now an Uber driver. Yep, that's right. I drive for Uber. Now, all right. With all the ride sharing companies, I decided to drive for the one with the most name recognition, just like Coke, Kleenex, and Budweiser. You know, you say, I missed the last train, or I got to get across town. Oh, you better call Uber. You know, if I drive for Lyft or the other no-name ride sharing companies, you know, I'll be not making any money. But it's really easy to become an Uber driver. You just need a relatively late model car and the paperwork. Make sure it's not a hoopty, and give them a copy of your license. They do a background check. Make sure you're not some sicko pervert. My name didn't pop up. I don't know how that happened, but anyways, I'm driving for Uber.
The meetings. You never signed right. in any of the pervert meetings, so you're good to go.
Right, right. And I guess they never watched To Catch a Predator. But anyways, I'm driving for Uber out of necessity. 75 Radio, the Political Cesspool, and Liberty News Radio is out of a labor of love. I mean, this is therapy for me, and it costs lots and lots and lots of money to run. And then add to the fact I have a wife that contributes nothing and two kids that contribute nothing. They refuse to work in the coal mines. It is a necessity. But the downside is that, you know, after gas, you're paying for gas or you're burning your own gas, you're about $12 to $15 an hour. Now, unlike other Uber drivers, I don't have any of those, like, taxi driver stories. But besides me being who I am and learning, you know, not be a rat, I keep my mouth shut. So whatever happens in the car stays in the car. But I will tell you this. A couple of days ago, I had a sitting member of the U.S. House of Representatives in the back of my car. And he was a Republican, and he was a conservative. So we got to talking. And he did have one of my business cards, which has The Political Cesspool and 705 Radio on it. Now, what he did shortly afterwards, that's on him. But I thought it was neat. I had a sitting member of Congress in my car, and I'm telling him, I was like, dude, you got to fix this country because we're a mess. Other interesting things, I had tourists from Holland and Chile in my car, and I asked them, like, what does your country or your media think about President Trump? And they were very reluctant to tell me. And I said, listen, I'm in radio. I want to know. And I said, people here in Washington hate our president. Our media hates our president. And about half the country hates our president, but they were very reluctant to say anything. So that told me that they probably have a negative opinion of Trump. But, you know, I traveled over to Europe and parts of Africa in the Middle East. And for the most part, they were hated all over the world. But, you know, I don't care because, you know what, we're America. You know, we got the trucks, we got the guns, and we got the gold. We had the gold, but that's a different story. But, you know, that we're America, and, you know, if you don't like it, you know, don't come here, please. Don't come here.
Or leave.
Yeah.
Planes leave every day.
They still keep coming here.
On the exit side also. Our borders are also exits. So, you know,
right.
If they don't like it,
right.
And the exit.
Right. And you know, we all know that this country cannot survive with – the current system that we have now. You know, people come in illegally. They're crying. They're like, oh, you're separating the parents from the kids. Well, you arrested parents in apartments. What happens? You bring the kids down to the 7-5 and then to the central booking, or you leave them somewhere else or call social services.
We always had to bring the kids in, always with a female officer, which I thought was ridiculous. And we called DHS, Department of Human Services, to come in and take care of the kids.
Right. Now we got to put them in luxury housing. Meanwhile, at VA headquarters in downtown D.C. and McPherson Square, veterans are literally sleeping under the building. All right, we'll come back with a lost custom that we don't see anymore. This is 7-5 Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
We're here.
And, yep, we're back, Walt.
Go on. You were saying you were going to bring something up after the, but didn't catch it.
Yeah. Yeah, something up a lost custom. Also, first I want to mention the band Yes is on their 50th anniversary tour. However, it's a ragtag group of members from throughout the decades without the lead singer John Anderson. It's a great band, but just too much drama. I mean, it's the 50th anniversary. I'd be the whole band together. But anyways, I want to talk about a lost custom. Now, growing up, my father taught me things on how to be a man. Things like always look people in the eye, don't be so cheap, always keep your word, and be a good tipper. Now, living in New York City, you're tipping everybody. The man bringing your car from the parking garage, the doorman at a club, the bellboy, the bartender, and the cab driver. Now, well, you probably remember this. If you tip your bartender very well and the place is busy, he or she will make sure you're well taken care of. Now, I remember in 97, attending the police academy, we were at some joint in Manhattan after closing, and they're counting thousands of dollars of cash of the night's take, and they're playing a song from the Soundgarden Super Unknown album. And I tipped the bartender $20 to play the whole album. So needless to say, I had a little too much fun that night. But and then nowadays, everybody wants a tip. The fast food joints, your dry cleaners, even your convenience stores. It's stupid. Making change or giving a grease burger in a bag does not, you know, warrant a tip, but good service does. But as an Uber driver, I've received a total of one tip. It wouldn't be so bad, but if I wasn't in such a rich town, because people have a lot of money. But Walt, are you a good tipper?
I am. I'm a very good tipper. My lady friend is a very good tipper. Sometimes I think we overtip, but we also know how much a food server does not earn. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They don't get, but they, you know, they get like $2 an hour, and then the rest is on tips. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They should get a wage, you know, a minimum wage, just like anybody else. But yeah, that's why there's things as gratuities. You are compensating their income, and well deserve it. And whether it's a good food server or not, they still get a tip. And you're exactly right. When you tip and you're known to be a good tipper, your glass will never be empty and your plate will always have food on it. And that's what they're there for. Go to a wedding, you know, you're the best man or the groom. We talked about this before. You got a pocket full of 20s and you're passing it out to the food server. You're passing it out to the bartender. You're passing it out to the waiter to make sure that your table is well taken care of. And I've been at weddings where I tipped so good, we had our own freaking bartender and our own food server, and they stood there. And if the rolls got cold, they brought warm rolls. So, you know, you get what you pay for. If I was you as an Uber driver, and you know you're not going to get a tip, I'd find the bumpy roads.
Well, that's too hard to do in Washington, D.C. If we got time, I can start about that. But what I noticed, like, you know, most of my, customers I drive are mostly D.C. millennials who are liberal to the T, because, you know, none of them are wearing red Trump hats, and none of them come from middle America, and, you know, they all get to come from the best schools or whatever. But these are the same people saying, you know, minimum wage will be $15 an hour. They want to raise the minimum wage everywhere, support the working class, the working people, the working mothers, the working, you know, everybody. But, you know, they need more money. We need more money for every social program under the sun, and we need universal health care to help the poor. But anyways, if you're riding in somebody's private car as an Uber driver, he or she didn't make the best choices in life, and they need the money. They're the poor. Even though I might be driving a Cadillac, guess what? I got to pay the car note on that Cadillac. So it'd be great to have, you know, these people understand is that, like, you know, regular cab drivers, they got to pay money before they take that car off the lot unless they own it full right, and they're paying a fortune for that. But these people do not understand about tipping. Now, my wife, she never worked in the service industry whatsoever. She is the worst tipper. I got to scrounge for money in my own pocket and hide it, because it's a big argument if I leave, like, God forbid, an extra dollar or two. But that's a lost art, is, you know, customer service, that's going away, and tipping is going away. Now, I understand, you know, we talked about tipping too much. Like, somebody gets you a cup of coffee and didn't screw it up or didn't spill it all over your shirt. You know, do you really need that tip? Or the person that grabs the your suit off the hanger at the dry cleaners, does he or she deserve a tip? Probably not. But you know, I miss the days where we could were able to people would tip you for a job well done.
Like you say, you know, at the dry cleaner, at the gas station, they all got these little jars, you know, with some kind of nonsensical donation request on them. Listen, I don't do that. You know, I don't take my change, you know, or my coin change and just dump it in a jar because I don't want to put the change in my pocket. I don't do that because I know what that's for. That's to enhance the gas station guys' income. Now, you know, they're making pretty good money at the gas stations. Otherwise, they wouldn't be open, you know. So I don't do the tip jar thing. If I'm going to tip somebody, I like to hand it to them. You know, or if I'm going to tip somebody and I pay by credit card, I'm going to put their name on the receipt, you know, even though it's probably on there already. But,
right.
It's I'm not putting anything in a freaking jar. That's just, you know, might as well open up your window and throw it out in the wind because you don't know where it's going to where it's going. So anyway, hey, Supreme Court.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about the Supreme Court, right?
I want you.
Yep. Thank God he.
And I'll comment if we have time. So go ahead.
Yep, I'll make it real quick. Justice Kennedy is finally retiring. He's been a swing vote both left and the right, and which is a good thing. He's 81 years old. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85. I mean, I can't wait till that old bag croaks. But hopefully Trump puts a young, you know, Generation X millennial judge in the Supreme Court decision, because he's been filling not only the Supreme Court but other lower courts with young conservative justices, and that's another promise he's been keeping, that he's going to fill the courts with conservatives. And in fact, Justice Kennedy, he was a swing vote for the decision yesterday on labor unions. You do not have to join a labor union if your job has a collective bargaining agreements. So that's good. But these people got to go. I mean, Kennedy's got to go. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's got to go. Justice Kagan, even though she's in her 50s, she got to go. She's never been married, has no kids, and like softball. Come on, we all know what her she likes to do behind closed doors. What do you think about the opening of the Supreme Court?
You know, it's not so much the opening of the Supreme Court, Justice, this fellow retiring. It's that the left is all nervous now. Now they're screaming out, oh, we got to wait until, you know, there's another president, you know, another seated president, which is going to be, what, another 6 years? And then you got Mike Pence or another Republican is going to be in. So then what are we going to wait, 16 years to appoint a justice? That's just stupid. The left is singing about that, like 2 years ago when Justice Scalia passed away, that, you know, Mr. Obama should appoint a justice, and the conservative side was saying, no, let's wait for the election. And I guess Obama said, okay, you know, with a smile, with a certain kind of a grin on his face, and everybody thought that Hillary was going to, you know, get into the White House and to appoint, she was going to get the chance to appoint the new justice. And she didn't, and now the left is screaming like the right was screaming 2 years ago. So I think Mr. Trump is going to take it upon himself, probably wait until after the November elections, and go ahead and appoint another Supreme Court justice. And if Obama was smart, which we know he wasn't, he would have appointed, you know, a liberal before the election in 2016. See, so, you know, things backfire. So I don't think Mr. Trump is wrong by taking it. It's his executive duty to appoint a Supreme Court justice. And I think he'll find another fella or lady who is conservative that will not necessarily be replace the swing vote conservative like Justice Kennedy, But I think we're headed in the right direction with that.
Right. Another sounds week in the like, books. Sounds like a plan. Yeah, we did it together.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, I'm going to find out what's going on. You know, we've been having a lot of storms down here.
Right, right. All right, well, take us away. All right, this is Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton for 75 Radio. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.